You'll notice on your paper that I printed, there is no title, and I don't know what happened, if the printer just decided not to print it, but if you want to take your pencil or pen and write across the top, will the real believers please stand up? Will the real believers please stand up? I see I'm the only one standing. So. Good, Jim. Last week, we ended with verse 30 of John chapter 8, and that verse says, even as he spoke, Jesus, many believed in him. What does it take to believe in something or someone? What does it take? I asked that question of myself, especially with what we've got going on in society today. I'm an engineer. I love science. I love technology. And believe it or not, 20 years ago, I was using AI on the shop floor with robotics. We did injection molding, and in a mold, you have all the parts that you make in the mold, but then there's a runner, they call it, where the plastic comes into the mold, down through the lines, and into the part. Well, when the mold opens up, if it's made right, it shears that off from that, it's called a runner of plastic. And then where does the runner go? It falls with the parts into a bin, and then somebody has to sort through that along with the good parts and pull that scrap piece out. And so we thought, why not? Let's put a robot at the top and grab that sprue as it just before it falls and pull that out, and then put it into a grinder that grinds that plastic up and then refeeds it back into the system so that you're taking advantage of the scrap plastic and nobody has to touch it. I loved it. It was great. It saved us a lot of money. That was real. We could identify that. We could look at that and say, that's real. I see that robot, and it reaches in there, grabs that, pulls it out, does its job, and that's real. It's visual. We see it. I believed in it. Today, and by no means am I going to get political, but you look at television, what's real? What's real? Do you believe what you see, what you hear? I just watched a robot in the form of a human being. Remember that? Looked just like a person, except for they didn't have features and everything else. This robot's walking, doing flips, somersaults, jumping backwards, landing on its feet, and it's a robot. I'm like, oh my goodness, how's God going to know whether that's a believer or not? It's not real. It's not real. How do we determine what's real and what's not real? There's one word that fits into that scenario really, really well. What's real? You got any indication of what it could be? What's the word when something is real? It's truth. It's truth. You know any verses out of Scripture that talk about truth? Bible's full of it. The one that that I always think about is I am the way, the truth, and the life. And who was that? That was Jesus. I am the truth. And even though he fulfilled the prophecies of all the Old Testament, he came onto the scene and he was the truth. He told the truth. He never sinned, yet society looked at Jesus, had a hard time believing him. This is difficult, but put yourself in Jesus' position. I came from God my Father. I am the truth. If you knew Scripture like you should, you'd know who I am. You will see today what they try to do to him. And he's truth. So are we surprised as we live our life every day when we hear the lies, the deception that's all around us? Are we surprised? No, we shouldn't be. Satan is alive and well. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. That means destroy. Don't ever forget that. Never forget that Satan is there too. Right along with us, right along with our neighbors, right along with our friends. He's right there just like Jesus is. I guess we make choices, don't we? Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Now, one last question before I get into this. Are there people that believe in Jesus that don't follow him? All over the place. Satan believes in Jesus. So, what does it take? What is God looking for? That's why I titled it and it didn't come out. Will the real believers please stand up? Jesus' response was as follows in 8:31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You remember somebody, we just celebrated their birthday, that said that just in the last 50 years? Martin Luther King. He quoted scripture about the truth. He saw the evil, the lies, and he used that scripture, talked about truth. People really want to know the truth. I don't care who you are. Do you like being lied to? Does anybody enjoy being lied to? I have not yet found anybody that I would consider somebody that says, would you please lie to me? I don't think that's going to happen. People want to know the truth. But it's so difficult when people don't tell the truth to decipher between the truth and a lie. There was a gentleman came home one night from work, and his neighbor met him in his front yard, backyard, wherever it was. And he said, you know, I want to tell you something that I just think you need to know. Today, while you were gone, a man stopped at your house. And he was in the house with your wife. Okay, guy says, I'm sorry, but my wife and I are good. We have no problems, none at all. The I said, well, just thought I would tell you that. The next day, same thing. And the next day, the same thing. And the guy kept saying, would you just leave that alone? He said, I know what the truth is. 13 days in a row that took place. On the 14th day when it happened, the guy said, geez, I wonder what my wife's thinking. And it wasn't true. They found in that study that normal 13 times, if you hear something 13 times, your tendency is, even though what you know to be true is true, you start to doubt it. What hope do we have? What hope do we have? Jesus, that's the hope we have. We want to know the truth. Does knowing the truth make you a believer? I loaded this up with good questions. Just, if you know the truth, if those people in that time, in that setting knew the truth, did that make them believers? It says that they believed. Jesus, though, knew their hearts. See, I can't see your heart. I can only gauge and judge by your actions, right? How you live is what I can gauge by. I don't know your heart, though. Are there some really deceptive people? Yeah. Do you know their heart? You don't. But you gauge by what you see, and that helps you believe what you believe about that person. Jesus was teaching. He didn't live, you know, at this point in time, Jesus had been on the earth over 30 years. Did he teach the truth or did he teach lies? He taught the truth. So, people want to know the truth, so what's the automatic reaction? Well, then I believe you. I believe in him. Well, then I ask the question, you believe in him, but why don't you change the way you live? And Jesus basically confronted people with that very thought. How much did they believe? How much do you believe? Do we believe? He basically told those who believed what comes next. Hold to my teaching, or his word, and I'll know you're my disciples. The word disciple, what's that a derivative of? The word discipline. We get the word disciple from the word discipline. And what is discipline? It's something that you set up as a way of living. It's a way of living. It's a discipline. You discipline yourself to exercise. You discipline yourself to eat right. You discipline, I mean, it's all about discipline. And when you fail to discipline, what is the result? You go off in a direction you don't want to go. If you're disciplining yourself to not eat so much, and you want a diet, and you want to lose some weight, you discipline yourself, you say, I shouldn't be eating so much of this, I shouldn't eat this, I should eat this, and I got to take care of my body, I should exercise. But then you say, oh, boy, I really like that. I'll use ice cream as a, I really like that ice cream. So you go back into the eating the ice cream, and pretty soon you say, you get on the scales and you say, oh, I just gained 5 pounds. Well, where's your discipline? Went right out the window with that first scoop of ice cream. It happens. How can you tell yourself in the Christian life, I need to be disciplined in certain areas of my life that lead me to Jesus and his word. He says, and I quote this too much maybe, for he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him, God's word, who called us by his own glory and goodness. He's given us everything we need. It's up to us to discipline ourselves. These people had a hard time with discipline. They didn't have the New Testament. Remember this? They didn't have the New Testament right then. We're talking about John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the beginning. They didn't have the New Testament. But they had the old. And they had the teachers of the law. And they had all these people who taught in the temple. What went wrong? How could they miss the fact that Jesus was coming on the scene? It just took forever. It took forever. Pretty soon you may hear something and you forget about it after a period of time and you say, well, it's not important anymore. And that's what happened. That's what took these people's minds. Remember in God, there's a passage in Peter, but with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. In other words, time means nothing to God. He's not bound by time. He created the world and the earth, and he said the morning and the evening were the first day. That's the 24-hour period. We were bound by time ever since. But was he? No. God is not bound by time. So he's looking at this, Jesus, and saying, have you forgotten what the word says that's being taught in the synagogue? Well, even a lot of these people were people from the synagogue, the teachers. They had a hard time with it. Jesus had to be frustrated, understanding, though, who these people were, knowing full well that who else is on the scene with Jesus? Satan. He's there too. Don't ever forget that. He's there beating on Jesus totally to shut up. I don't want people to know about you. He does a great job. Hold to my teaching or his word. How could they be set free? The truth will set you free. We don't really have a clue in America. None of us grew up not free. We may complain about taxes and other things like that, but we're free. We have a mind. We get to think and say what we want. The amendments that were written, freedom of speech and freedom, I mean, you know, we're free. I don't know if you're familiar with a lot of other countries. They're not free to do that. Were the Jews familiar with not being free? They should have been. They should have been familiar with that. But in a little bit, we're going to see that it just skips their mind. It just skips their mind because a period of time went by and they forgot all about their freedom. They weren't slaves to anyone, he says. Jesus is using slavery to describe and explain exactly what he means. They didn't have the New Testament yet, but good and evil were there at the same time. Good versus evil has been the story since the beginning. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, the first two sons. Good, evil. Do you realize, and you don't need to write this down, it's pretty easy to believe, good will always support good. Always. Good will never, true good will never support evil. Evil, on the other hand, will always support evil. But evil will never support good. And the sooner we all realize the difference between the two and how much that is coming at us at record speed today, where do we turn? We need to turn to the Word. We need to turn to God, Jesus. Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Could any of those people there say, "Well, we've never sinned"? Not one of them could say that. They could, but he'd then call them a liar. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. I'm not an idiot. I know you are Abraham's descendants. Yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Smack, smack, smack. Is he hitting them alongside the head? These are religious teachers, a lot of them. There's their reaction. "Abraham is our father," they answered. Well, he just said that just a little bit ago. He beat him to the punch. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants." He said that before he made that comment. And they, how do they respond? "Well, we're Abraham." He's like, "I already told you I know that. What are you, think I'm an idiot? I know you're Abraham's descendants." And that's what their answer came back. And I loved his answer. "If you were Abraham's children," what is the, you add that "were" in there. Means if you were, you're not anymore. That's the thing I kind of understood there. If you were his descendants, you mean you're not anymore? Well, how are you living your life? How are you responding to me? Jesus is basically saying, because you're no longer Abraham's descendants if you're going to treat me the way you treat me. Because if you were his descendants, you'd be treating me different. Then he has the nerve to tell them that they're doing what they have heard from their father. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus said, "then you would do what Abraham did." Well, then you have to ask the question, what did Abraham do? "As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you," and I'll say, "nothing but the truth that I heard from God." Abraham did not do such things. "You are doing the works of your own father." Abraham didn't say Jesus won't exist. He never said that. He, in fact, believed that he would and will come onto the scene as a savior. Abraham believed. Remember the passage in Hebrews? Hebrews 11 talks about the people who believe and were true believers. Abraham was one of them. God knows our heart. We are not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God Himself. Now, are there people that believe in God yet don't worship Him? Several of these people were in that situation. Ever since the beginning of creation, God's invisible powers, His divine nature, was clearly seen by everything that was made, so that people are without excuse. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God or gave thanks to Him. Wow. There's scripture all over that talks that way. Do you believe? Do you glorify God? Do you give thanks to Him? Jesus is basically saying, you're a slave to Satan, the devil. You tell the religious leaders of the Jewish faith that their father is Satan? You're going to really make some people angry. And He did. He really made people angry because He kept using the term, you want to what? Kill me. It's the old movie. You can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth. Matthew 12:30. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. When Jesus says things like that, He is driving a wedge so bad by telling the truth. You people, you follow your father, the devil. You want to kill me. If you didn't, if you followed Abraham, you wouldn't be wanting to kill me. You'd know who I am. They had the word, the Old Testament word, the law. They had the teaching of the Pharisees. But did they believe it? Did they take it into their heart? John 8:34-44, and I'm going to read this because it's very important. It's all Jesus' words. Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Well, Abraham's our father. Well, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God Himself. Now listen to this. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. He nailed him again. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? they're speaking a language, or they only understand a language from their father, the devil. Is the devil ever going to tell them the truth? Not going to happen. That's his point here. That's his whole point. Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father, the devil's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Great question. If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And I go back to the language barrier. Do we speak God's language or do we speak Satan's language? They don't go hand in hand. In fact, Jesus made it quite clear that those who spoke the language of Satan don't even understand what Jesus says. They can't even make heads or tails of it. You ever speak to somebody that speaks a foreign language and you don't know what they're talking about? Jesus is basically smacking them alongside the head. If you, as you claim, are children of God, then you'd understand what I'm talking about. You'd understand my words, but you don't understand them, so you're proving to me that you are children of Satan. Because, he says, if you're not for me, what? You're against me. That's basic. That's pretty simple. You ever question, well, this person, I know them. They are such a good person. They do everything. I mean, they help the poor, and they're such good people. They going to heaven? Do they know Jesus? Well, no, but they're really good. They're sinners, and they're condemned to hell. They're children of the devil. Jesus said that. That should put the burden on us even greater and greater and greater to show these people by the way we live and the love that we portray so that they want to know who Jesus is. Wow. He told the top religious leaders that they belong to Satan. He calls them children of the devil. Not good. These leaders are truly either idiots or really enjoy being made fools of. Because the people that were there, they saw this happen. And Jesus is telling them, you're children of the devil, the religious leaders. Jesus, when he taught, he didn't pull any punches. What did he do? He told the truth. He told the truth. What's that old saying? Sometimes the truth hurts. Verses 48 through 58. The Jews answered him, "We are right in saying that you are a Samaritan and that you're demon-possessed." You notice how they started that? What did they say? I love it. Aren't we right? Isn't the world out there that rejects Jesus saying, we're right? We are right. No, you're not. Their question, they made the statement. I am not possessed by a demon, Jesus said, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it. And he is the judge. In other words, his Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see. He just changes the whole subject. He changes. See, they're talking about you follow Satan, you follow the devil. But then he changes the subject. He talks about life and death. Huh. Do you think they stopped thinking about the fact that they were children of Satan? He just nailed them with it. Now he's starting to talk about life and death. Whoever obeys my word will never see death. At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory then means nothing." That's self-glorification. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, then I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Why aren't you glad? Why aren't you glad? I'm here. Because they don't speak the language of God. They speak the language of Satan. How do we expect people that can't speak God's language to understand what God is saying? He gave us his word. But do people that don't know God pick up his word and read it? It's a little catch-22. The world's not reading the Bible. Who's reading the Bible? The people that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior. Those people read the Bible. We read the Bible. And we understand, because of the Holy Spirit, that it's speaking to us from God, the truth. Remember, there is no prophecy of Scripture that came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they wrote the Scriptures, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Not even under their own power when they wrote the word. They don't understand the word because it's a different language. When I studied this, it really helped me to understand better of the fact that I'm talking to people that don't understand the language. They don't understand. It's up to God to open that to them. It's not up to me, but I use God's word, and that gives God that in to be able to start using that word in their heart. If you speak Scripture to people, and I don't mean the genealogies, don't go to somebody and start preaching genealogies. That'll just destroy everything you're trying to accomplish. But God's word, especially New Testament, they have a hard time arguing with it. But I don't care if they want to. You can argue with me all day long. You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with God. God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen by what was made, so that people are without excuse. Don't forget that. They are without excuse. And do I have to apologize for saying the things I say? No. God wants me to say it. And he'll use it the way he wants to use it. This is a great representation of a family member and a slave. The Jewish leaders are stuck on themselves. Who are you to tell us that we are slaves? We don't need this. We're already good. That's the beginning of the end. When you look at yourself and say, I'm good. Remember your neighbor, that great, wonderful, good person? They don't know Jesus. Are they going to heaven? They're going to hell. They're going to hell. Without knowing Jesus, it's simple. It's scripture. Now, I'm not going to go to my neighbor and say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. Well, I have a way of doing it through scripture that isn't quite so offensive, because they're my neighbor and I love them. But God uses his own scripture to talk to people. He's using it here with the Jewish leaders. Exactly what Jesus needed to hear. That was exactly what Jesus was waiting for. They said, we are good. You sin. You're a slave to sin. And you can't change that. Can you take care of your sin? Who's it against? What is sin against? It goes against God. God can't have fellowship with us because of sin. He doesn't know sin. He doesn't want to know sin. He's perfect. So God says, you got to get to me some other way, and that's through my son, Jesus, who paid the price. But if you don't accept that price that he paid, sorry, I will not have fellowship with you. You may be socially free, not a slave, but you have a master known as sin. Talk about the truth setting you free. He nailed him. There is no escape from slavery. They are a slave to Satan, a slave to sin. The truth and lies cannot exist in the same room. It means constant turmoil. And this is where I added in here about evil never supporting good and good never supporting evil. That's a kind of a cool thing to learn. Verse 45, yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Huh. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. See, it goes back to that not understanding the language. Jesus tells the truth. They believe lies. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I am telling the truth. Yet, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Wow. He just told the top religious leaders that they belong to Satan. Called them children of the devil. These leaders truly hated Jesus. You want to kill somebody that you don't hate? There's a reason why people kill people, is they hate them. Or they're going to rob them or whatever, and they kill them. But they truly hated Jesus. But he made his point. That's what he was here to do. That's why he came. I have a point to make. And you know what? When Jesus was with the disciples for his final comments to them. That's the big thing he said to them. I'm leaving. I've been the one here teaching and preaching and telling, I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. But they're killing me because they can't handle the truth. They speak a different language. But he said to his disciples, it's on your shoulders. Go into the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is the life of Christ. His life, his birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension. That's the story of Jesus. Are we telling it? Because God will use it, but they don't speak the language, so you let God teach the language to them with his words. His words are most important. John 8:55-56. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, then I would be a liar. He didn't stop there. He said, but I would be a liar like you. He's not letting up. He does not let them have a second without telling them that. But I do know him. The difference is I obey his word. They actually wanted to kill him, but they must have forgotten one very important thing. He's God. What more needs to be said? God is in control of everything. Don't forget that. They just didn't want or like hearing the truth because they spoke the language of the devil. Jesus made that clear. Here's some thoughts. Does the truth really set you free? You bet it does. When you know the truth, that's why that verse is so important. That's why Martin Luther King said that. When you know the truth will set you free. It doesn't say the truth might set you free. But when you know the truth, it will set you free. If it does, why do we worry? God is truth, and he is in total control of everything. Yes, the truth will set you free. Let that reflect in our attitude as we go about life. Talking to people, whether we're at work, neighbors, friends, enemies, whoever it might be, they all need to see the truth. The truth is Jesus. And he made those points very clear here in John 8. And he left it up to them to decide what they were going to do with the truth. And we know what the end result was. They got what they wanted to do. They got their way. We know that story. If I was in a group of people that didn't know the Bible, I wouldn't tell this story. But they killed him. They said, well, we're rid of that now. But boy, did God surprise them. Father, you are so good to us. You see our hearts. You hear our words. You see our actions when we talk to other people. You know our motives. Help those to all be directed to you and by you. Melt us. Make us like you. Let people see you in us. And then you take it over from there and show them the way to life and truth. Thank you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.